and welcome to The Trawl, the show where we scroll through Twitter so you don't have to. I'm Gemma Forte.
And I'm Marina Perkis, and this week's Trawl is a belter. We have got leadership contest lows, U-turns, toys being thrown out of Johnson cultist prams, all sorts. But first of all, Gemma, you are back. How was Ibiza? And did you manage to keep up to date in the political shit show in between bouts of big fish, little fish, all night raving?
Yeah, I kind of did. I mean, Ibiza is just fun, and I took my teenagers. So, and I was with my friend and her kids as well. And yeah, it was, I felt so lucky to have a break. I have to say, I managed to always, you know, when you have a holiday, it's like, by the time I arrive, I really need a holiday. I don't know what it is about the build-up. So I arrive like a strung out Neanderthal. And then there's always like a little bit in the middle where I think, I'm going to opt out of society and live in a cave and maybe braid hair. And then that sort of lifts. And then by the end, I'm like, oh, I just want to go home and slag off the Tories with Marina. So, I'm clearly rested. And then the other thing, Marina, now when you go away, it's all the Brexit benefits, you know, because you get more queuing. And then I thought, could I perhaps, in my desperation to find a Brexit benefit, could I sell you this? I couldn't go on Instagram as much to post things like the prawns I was having for lunch because of data roaming charges. So have I saved people from my vacuous content? So
that, mind you, you did manage to post still. I did see quite a bit.
Obviously, there was Wi-Fi at the hotel. Do you know what I mean? I was on there a bit. So, but yeah, that was my desperation for a Brexit benefit. And, you know, in terms of politics, I was a sort of a little bit in and out. But how's your week been? It's been okay.
Probably not as exciting as Ibiza. Nothing much to we've had some builder work starting, so I've got my little one due in October. So we're trying to extend, like, you know, panicking that we don't have enough space. So we're extending into the loft and the builders have started. All good. But the Portaloo hasn't arrived and we've only got one toilet. And they're quite significant visits.
Builders are amazing. They do excellent work. But why do they always have a massive poo in the middle of the day? It does seem to be like, I've worked in offices and people tend not to. I don't know whether it's because people in offices are more repressed, so they save it for their own loo. But builders are just like, oh, I am off. I'm on the throne. If anybody needs me, they'll take the biscuits in, take the papers. Yeah. It's like an event
so
poo.
It's so they were in there for 10 mins plus, each one of them. And that's fine, but what's going on? Are you okay? Are you eating enough fibre?
Do you know what? Just maybe like go, you know, thanks so much. It's been a brilliant week. Here's some brown rice. I don't know.
And my air freshener is doing some very heavy lifting at the moment.
Oh, my love. Oh, and I've been there and I've been with fragrant breezes and pina coladas. And then I've got to say, right, every now and again, because I'm, you know, I would have a little dip in and I just mainly saw this week, which I think we're covering, just Rishi Sunak being a pillock, Liz Truss being a pillock, but also it's sort of like Britain flooding and stuff. And then this one tweet, I was like, oh God, this is why I need to live in a cave. This tweet encapsulated what I thought I was coming back to. So it's from at number 10 cat, who is Larry the cat on Twitter, i.e. the cat from number 10. And they wrote, the Tory leadership contest enters its 42nd week. Sunak promises to electrocute people earning less than the median income. Truss will bring back capital punishment for those not singing the national anthem loudly enough. And the Telegraph suggests both need to be more right-wing.
Larry the cat is actually not too far off. That's quite a good update. He is, however, missing. There was an Armageddon article out by the BBC in reference to Putin and his actions. Ah, it was so depressing. It was joyously headlined, "Nuclear Annihilation, Just One Miscalculation Away." To which Stuart Allison simply tweeted, "I'll leave the freezer to defrost then."
Bloody hell, I'll cancel my waxing appointment. Honestly. Absolutely no point having those little fuckers ripped out their follicles. Oh my God. I mean, I'm glad I missed that one. Because seriously, the cave option becoming more and more attractive. Anyway, another thing I did spot, Marina, which is perhaps a nice contrast to nuclear annihilation, is Rees-Mogg's rose-tinted view of how things are going. So he was interviewed by Julia Hartley Brewer, and she asked him, I think very poignantly, what is actually working in Britain today. And at @haggis_UK tweeted the response.
What's actually working in Britain today? What actually works well in Britain today? Can you think of any public service?
Our Test cricketers didn't do too badly against New Zealand. So Test matches are going reasonably well.
Wow. Cliff Sutton replied to that. 12 years of Conservative Britain and the only public service that isn't on its knees is the cricket team. I would say that another thing that isn't working is Rees-Mogg's brain.
So let's get stuck into our trawl, and it's not just Gemma that's been missing in action.
I know, right? Okay, so I'm just a gob on a stick. I can go on holiday with my kids if I want for a week and no one cares and it doesn't affect anything. But Prime Minister Johnson, he is still supposed to be the Prime Minister and the Chancellor of the Exchequer. They have not crunched diaries, have they? They're like both away during the hugest cost of living crisis. It's intense. So at Mr. Matt Page, who calls himself husband, bookseller and Manix fan, asked, why is Johnson on holiday now when he can spend the rest of his life on holiday from September? And why is Zahawi on holiday now when he's only been in the job for a month and has done precisely zero so far to address the cost of living inflation nightmare, dereliction of duty? I mean, he's got a point.
Why was he so desperate to cling on? Why did Johnson not, why didn't he just go? He could have gone and been a free man.
Is it because he wanted to beat Theresa May's record? I mean, that's a bit of a rumour on Twitter, but surely, I mean,
Does it mean he is? Is he going to beat her record?
Oh, I don't know. He's beaten a few records, like, I don't know, biggest.
Being a dickhead.
Being bat.
But also, Zahawi, just on Zahawi, though, I've never actually thought about it like that, but you're right. He's just, can you imagine getting a new job? New job offer, you're taking the offer, and then you bugger off for the first couple of weeks when you're really needed. It's just, the rest of us don't behave like that.
I've got to say as well, the other day, we're supposed to be vaguely on top of these things. I actually couldn't remember who the Chancellor of the Exchequer was. And, you know, because Zahawi had about four jobs, didn't he? He was like Education Secretary and a Health Minister, I think. And it's just like, what are you doing or shuffling about in these really important roles, not doing anything? It's really weird. So a couple of other comments on their absence. Ash Sarkar, who's a contributing editor to Navara Media and describes herself as anarcho-fabulous, said, the Bank of England has forecast a very long and painful recession. Inflation's going up 13%. Very grim stuff. Which is why I'm glad Boris Johnson and the Chancellor of the Exchequer are putting self-care first and going on their summer holidays.
God.
Self-care. So true. They should be so stressed. They should be having, you know, like nightmares. And Aubrey Allegretti, who's the political correspondent for The Guardian. I mean, this is so gossipy. I love it, Marina. Dire economic forecast for the year ahead. So where's the Chancellor? I'm told he's working remotely with his family while they're on holiday. So broadcasters have bid for an interview with him, but been told he's not available. Oof. So he's not working remotely, is he? Because that's his job.
No.
What's he doing? Anyway.
Probably sipping a pina colada.
Yeah. And, you know, do that when we haven't got the prospect of, you know, people going into abject poverty. Like, you're responsible for this. Unbelievable. Johnson
don't give a fuck,
also. What? He doesn't, does he?
Nope.
Doesn't. You know, he's at that breakfast buffet, absolutely filling his boobs. And he doesn't give a stuff that people will be going to warm banks.
Why have I got in my head that he would have some really jazzy swim shorts? Like with little flamingos on them or something.
Oh, he definitely would. And I reckon if he's got a son, I don't know whether he has or not, they'd have matching.
Of course they would.
Aww. Yeah.
How cute.
Or not. So the other thing Johnson didn't bother doing, so he's not sort of bothering to run anything or interject on any crisis, but he also didn't bother going to the Lionesses World Cup final. He also didn't arrange, he's good at not doing stuff, arrange a bus tour for them or invite them to number 10. But I did see some horrific pictures of Liz Truss. They were all in the bandwagon. Coffee, Therese Coffey and Dorries, our fave, they went to Wembley, didn't they, and did lots of photo ops, despite @Gungle2, who pointed out the following, which I thought was quite a funny POV. POV, Coffee and Dorries, both of them voted against equal rights for gay people and the right to marriage. Yet here they are celebrating a team that contains 7 members of the LGBTQ community. Freeloading hypocrites.
Complete hypocrites. Oh, they've got no shame as well. But there were some really cringe photo ops that came out. So did anyone see Jerry Halliwell, Ginger Spice?
Yes.
So she was very happy to pose with Liz Truss. And then there was a really god-awful picture of her hugging Nadine Dorries. And obviously this did the rounds on Twitter, and Twitter delivered the goods. So at Pamela Weaver wrote, if you want to be mein Führer. And at Count Binface simply tweeted, spice up your Reich.
I used to like Ginger Spice. What
I know, so did I.
Doing? Oh, Raging nightmare. the other thing that I thought was really great was just this tweet that summed up the leadership election. So we're back to our friend Ross in Cheshire. We've talked before about his masterpieces on Twitter, and he wrote this. The leadership election is down to 2. Liz Truss, a Maggie Thatcher knockoff you'd find at Elizabeth Duke, and Rishi Sunak, the chef from Ratatouille, having a go at being lifestyle coach after the rat abandoned him. So that kind of set the tone because he's spot on. And the other thing I mainly noticed when I had a little look at Twitter when I was away was just Truss being so rude about Nicola Sturgeon. I mean, and then, so she insulted Nicola Sturgeon massively, which was sort of so disrespectful and stupid. And then also Mark Drakeford, who I've got a lot of time for. I think he's really interesting leader, sort of one of the most progressive sort of thinkers that we have anywhere near power at the moment, in Wales, of course. And she described him, am I getting this right, as low energy Jeremy Corbyn?
Yeah, she did. It's just so rude.
Like, I mean, I know I've just described her as knockoff Thatcher Elizabeth Duke, but you know,
but you're not PM hopeful, Gemma. Exactly.
No, I'm not. And then at Y Rotina tweeted, a party leader who will be elected by 160,000 people only, attacking 2 leaders who've been elected with bigger majorities than she can dream of, clearly doesn't understand why Wales and Scotland have had enough of the union. I mean, she's going out of her way to make us just an isolated little England on our own.
She's just obsessing people left, right and centre. And then she's got her U-turns as well. So I don't know if anyone's noticed as well, she's getting, I feel, more Johnsonian as the leadership contest deepens. So she's doing the thing now where she U-turns, but she denies and then lies and gaslights about doing so. So she did this. There was the, she basically talked about this $8.3 billion that she was going to raise for the Treasury. And how was she going to do that? She was going to do it by proposing regional pay cuts for public sector staff, so including NHS and school staff, during a cost of living crisis when they are already massively underpaid, right? So she talked about this, and of course everyone reacted and it was like, well, what the hell is she doing? So the next day she U-turns, great. But does she say to us, you know, it was the wrong policy, or we misjudged it, or we listened to people? No, she doesn't. She lies and she says that she has been misrepresented, which is total bollocks, because she was very proud to talk about that $8.3 billion that she was going to raise from this. How else was she going to raise that $8.3 billion without these regional pay cuts? Hey, show us your workings, you great big bell end. And then she's also saying, like, no more handouts, but then that didn't go down well because it's quite a derogatory comment. And again, she's saying she was misrepresented. I mean, for someone that starts every other sentence with, let me be clear, or I've been very clear, she's not very bloody clear.
No.
Dave McLeod tweeted, top tip, if you ever feel not good enough to be doing your job, just think about Liz Truss, who is about to become prime effing minister. To which Keith Parkinson, at Distracted Keith, replied, does it count as imposter syndrome if you are actually an imposter?
And this is the thing. We're sitting here. This is all actually happening. It's not satire. It's not Armando Iannucci writing the thick of it. This is happening. And do they forget that everything is on camera? Like, everything they've ever said has been recorded for posterity. So as you say, just going, oh, let me be clear, let me... Well, you have been clear, and now you're not being clear because you've changed your mind. I actually really, really appreciated... Kay Burley was on Sky News, of course, and she did a very sort of acid little interview that was fantastic, where she really pointed out the sort of insane levels of crap that come out of Truss's mouth. So we're going to just play you a couple of little clips. The first one, Peter Stefanovich alluded to. So hear a little bit from that one first.
Well, I think the answer to restoring integrity isn't introducing more rules, because we have endless rules and codes. The issue is about clarity and leadership and doing what you say you will do and following through on your promises.
Your builders follow through, don't they, in your house? it's a different kind of following through. She doesn't follow through on anything except rubbish. So I want everybody just to enjoy this second clip. This is marvellous.
You were a Remainer, and now you're not. You supported Brits to fight in Ukraine, then you didn't. You wanted to build on the Green Belt, and now you don't. You wanted to abolish the monarchy, and now you don't. You wanted to arm Taiwan, and now I'm not sure if you're saying whether you do or not. You wanted civil servants...
We do provide them okay. with those...
You wanted to cut civil servants' pay in the regions, and then you said you didn't. Will the real Liz Truss please stand up?
Oh, my God. I love that clip, Marina, because do you know what it reminds me of? It's like the Shaggy tune. It wasn't me. You didn't do this. It wasn't me. Dunna, 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 dunna. It wasn't me. It was. We all know it was.
It's fine from Shaggy. I don't want to hear it from my prospective PM. And of course, it wasn't just Truss making a huge tit of herself. Sunak was very kind and more than happy to get involved as well. So, by the way, again, Rishi Sunak, we're seeing this metamorphosis as we go through this leadership campaign into some sort of really shitty version of a budget, like stand-up comedy act. He's loving the audience. Have you seen him? I don't know if you've seen him at the hustings, Gemma.
It's pitiful. It's making me angry, actually. I don't like who he's being. I think it's really undignified. No. I don't think he's going to win anyway. And he's just, it's awful.
But he was, this week, he was actually filmed on camera saying the quiet bit out loud. So he was basically talking to an audience, it looked like a lovely garden in Royal Tunbridge Wells, telling them that he will divert funds from deprived urban towns to wealthier towns like Royal Tunbridge Wells. I mean, the clue's in the title, Royal. Like, what? And then he gaslit us all, just like Truss did, by trying to say that he didn't say that. So at Tom Peck, who's a writer and columnist for The Independent, posted the clip of Rishi Sunak saying what he's now telling us he didn't say, with the caption, "This is so bad. Just so, so bad." Take a listen and make up your own minds.
From all of you, I managed to start changing the funding formulas to make sure that areas like this are getting the funding that they deserve. Because we inherited a bunch of formulas from the Labour Party that shoved all the funding into deprived urban areas. Then they, you know, that needed to be undone. I started the work of undoing that. I made sure as Chancellor across government...
What a guy. What a hero.
Levelling up. Levelling up. Hello. That's kind of what you were voted in on. They shove loads of money towards people that needed it. How dare they? Unbelievable. I mean, that just made my blood boil, and I think Twitter absolutely exploded, didn't it? Mm. Now, there was another little bit of a Rishi, and I'm just going to describe it because it doesn't work on a podcast because it was all visual. So he put out this video, right? In the same week that he was saying he wants to crack down on degrees, by the way, degrees that don't improve earning potential, more on that in a sec. So this video is Rishi Sunak holding a shredder, and then he sort of walks into a door that has Brexit Delivery Department written on it, puts it down, and then starts shredding files and files of paper. Then a bit of Beethoven comes in, and basically it says at the end, in his first 100 days, Rishi Sunak will review or repeal all EU legislation. It's so pathetic. And God. I mean, unbelievable. So Richard Osman, basically, really funny. He put, and this video, with every respect in the world, is why it would be useful to have an arts graduate on your team. And he's so right. It's like, this video is so crap and it's so mindless. Like, you are just aiming this at people who must be, I don't know, headbangers, frankly. So I slightly cheekily underneath Marina, I wrote, I just put, wow, this is the most mindless thing I've ever seen in my life. And I watch Love Island. So, I mean, it really, it makes the conversation on Love Island look intellectually tighten, quite frankly, because the point that I'm sure everybody listening gets is, if you got in as PM, you need to do something really quickly about the cost of living crisis, not sit and go through the minutiae of legislation that, whether you've left Brexit or not, we still need to trade. You're just talking about sort of welfare rights, sort of how to bring eggs across. It's just pathetic.
There's nothing
and
in
somebody
there.
Wrote they underneath, like, they did a close-up of the label that they had on the door, which just looked really like homeschooled. And then somebody underneath just put, Gareth Keenan investigates.
It did have a feel of The Office about it, didn't it? Yeah. Massively did. But it's such a pointless exercise. He's going to spend the first 100 days, was it, Gemma, doing that?
100 days.
Right. So 100 days. There are 2,400 pieces of legislation. Now, there is a man who his entire job is dedicated to figuring out where the opportunities are. His name is Jacob Rees-Mogg, and he's the Minister for Brexit Opportunities. He's been going through that. That's supposed to be what he's been doing. He has been going through that, and so far he's come up with lowering the wattage on vacuum cleaners. Great. I mean, I quite like high suction on my vacuum cleaners. And two is something about signs in the Dartford Tunnel. You caught that, Gemma? Yeah.
Don't forget my Instagram Brexit benefit. I'm not being able to post my prawns.
Of course.
Because I didn't have any data roaming. They were really nice. They were quite juicy. It was a nice little Insta story. I've never made it to air.
But anyway, you touched upon this before. So speaking of arts graduates and degrees. So yeah, we saw this week another thing that Rishi Sunak is deciding to devote his time to in this leadership race. He wants to crack down on degrees that do not improve earning potential. So basically phase them out, which just his tiny pea brain can't understand that not everyone is a soulless, money-driven dickhead like him. Like, some people actually go to university to study something they're just passionate about, or it's vocational, or it's not going to earn them shed loads of money. And yet he wants to basically make those non-accessible, which I think is awful, because what it does is creates a two-tier system whereby if you do want to study something artsy, for example, it won't be available to you. It will only be available to the wealthy who can afford to pay for those sorts of things. Anyway, and the reason for this is he said he doesn't want to saddle students with debt. All right. Now, this is the same Rishi Sunak who in March last year increased the student loan repayment from 30 years to 40 years. So it used to get wiped clean if at 30 years you'd still not manage to repay it, but not anymore. Mm. And guess who that hits the hardest? It's low-income graduates who iNews reported will end up paying 28k more on their debt. Cheers, Rishi. And at Tim Lees, 91, tweeted, the bonkers paradox of appealing to 0.2% of the electorate with extreme policies to get elected leader and then hoping the other 99.8% aren't also watching and remembering.
Oh, I know, it's awful. And he used Beethoven on his video, and I think if Beethoven was alive, he would have said, on your bite, mate, you're not using me, because also I'm German and I don't get why you've done Brexit. That's what I think. He also announced in his fantastic week of work a crackdown on extremists who hate Britain, basically adding vilification of the UK to the definition of an extremist. So does that include hatred of the UK government? Because Beth Danger wrote, tweeting about how much I hate England every day until Rishi drags me away to a camp. Can't wait, to be honest. All my faves will be there. We'll all be there. We'll all be there having a party. And then three steaks Pam at Alexandra Curie put, you have to admit, Rishi Sunak sending everyone who shitposts about Britain to a prevent camp is one hell of a way to manage the logistics of a giant Twitter meetup.
Can I come? That sounds great.
It's so weird. And then, because freedom of speech, etc. I thought they loved that. Prof Paul Bernal, at Paul Bernal UK put, and the total cowardice of the rest of the media, who know these ideas are unworkable, batshit crazy, dog whistle stuff, but are still too scared to say, but that's unworkable, batshit crazy, dog whistle stuff.
Ugh, I know. In fact, so Liz Truss had an interview yesterday just after one of her hustings, and the interviewer was a guy called Tom Newton Dunn from Talk TV. And during this interview, three times she attacked the media. And at the end, there was a clip that's doing the rounds on Twitter where they both think that the mics are off. It's the end and the audience is clapping. And she says in his ear, "Sorry, I was mean about the media." And he responds, "It's cheap and you know it."
Oh, I like that.
But it just shows they both know. They both know it's wrong. She knows it's bollocks, but she will say anything she needs to say to get into power. Oh, like we've seen, she will do anything. She is completely spineless. And yet, look, we've got, oh, I mean, this Vanity Leadership Project, we've got another 3 weeks of this, by the way. And throughout it all, Truss and Sunak are basically just putting their fingers in their ears and la, 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 just completely ignoring the cost of living crisis time bomb.
I know. I saw a tweet actually by someone called Anthony Byatt at Anby. And he said, 2016, £350 million a week extra for the NHS. 2022, pull your own teeth out.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
It's true.
That report. So do you know a bit more about, you probably know more about that than I do.
Well, it's basically get a dentist. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're resorting to pulling their own teeth out.
Yeah.
Which is, I do think if you don't like the way privatisation of our NHS is going, you just need to look at dentistry because it's already happened there.
Yeah.
So that's what we've got on the horizon.
Oh, we'll be sawing our own legs off before you know it if they get their way. We will pouring a bit of, I'll be going to my kids. Lily, get the vodka out of the cupboard, darling. I just need to do a quick home amputation. I mean, because I can't afford it. That's a bit sick.
The future is bright.
Basically where you're at with the teeth.
And then so obviously no one's doing anything from the Tory side. So out emerges Gordon Brown.
Out the
Gordon
cupboard.
Brown, texture like sun. He's a little bit of a heartthrob of mine, I've got to say. I don't know if anyone's watched there's a series on BBC that you can get on catch up called Blair and Brown, The New Labour Revolution.
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant.
Isn't it brilliant?
Really interesting.
And by the way, I know Tony Blair and Gordon Brown are far from perfect. Of course they are. They made big mistakes in terms of, you know, Tony Blair, and so did Gordon Brown. But they were pretty decent and they did lots of really, really good stuff. And in this documentary, I mean, I'd never really got close to, I didn't really know about Gordon Brown, but oh my God, he's a personal, you know, he's a heartthrob of mine. I'm starting
you're very hormonal, aren't you?
I think I am. I'm 7 months pregnant. Is this a thing?
Yeah, you see, the thing is with Blair, it's just the old tarnish of the Iraq war, just no escaping that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. Gordon Brown, there is a lot of criticism about how he sold the gold and he left us bankrupt. But when you watch that, you learn a lot about how influential he was with other world leaders and actually how much he did to stave off what could have been even worse with the banking disaster. Yeah. I thought it was interesting.
And he's so hardworking. Like he didn't care for the sort of personality side of it. He was just so diligent. And he's working hard at his crappy old computer. You can see there's his little curl, Gemma, in the middle of his head.
Oh,
he's
my
just
God, Marina, I need to, gorgeous. I don't know what we're going to do with you. who do you fancy more, Gordon Brown or Mick Lynch? You've got a really strange calendar.
Well, no, for me, Mick Lynch, you can take Mick Lynch. For me, it's either Gordon Brown or Eddie Dempsey from the RMT. I actually said to my husband, you know, you've got no worries about me running off with some like beefcake from the gym. Well, I don't go to the gym, that'd be why. Or falling over some movie star. But, you know, careful if you see me with a diligent, you know, workhorse revolutionary, because they are my soft spot.
That but is anyway, what's floating Marina's boat, everybody.
Gordon Brown. But he came out, right, and he's been doing the media rounds because of this ticking time bomb. And he was warning people of this. And he said that fuel increases would trap an unprecedented 49.6% of the UK population in fuel poverty in October. Don't forget, this is October. There is another price increase coming in Jan when the number in fuel poverty is estimated to reach 54%, more than half of the population in fuel poverty. And then there's another increase in April, by which I think our bills, the average bill is going to be £4,200, which is 85 quid a week.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
And Gordon Brown actually tweeted saying, Rishi Sunak may think raising debt is immoral. Liz Truss may say higher taxes are immoral. But there is nothing moral about condemning millions of vulnerable and blameless children and pensioners to a winter of dire poverty. It's just, and he's talking sense and no one else is talking about this. He's also just suggesting that there should be COBRA meetings in permanent session. And yet on Monday, we learn that Johnson has decided he's not going to intervene. It's up to his successor because he's just too busy, isn't he, Gemma?
Yeah, he's really, really busy. Really busy looking at treehouses or something. This tweet from Jim Whitehouse, who is at Nibbler Rat, wrote what I would not write on Twitter, but would love to. He put, about Johnson. It's almost impossible to believe he exists in politics. It's as if we took everything that was ever bad about the UK, scraped it up off the floor, wrapped it in an old sausage skin, and then taught it to make noises with its face. Okay, let's just quickly take a minute to talk about the fact that there was the video of Johnson dancing at his own wedding going around on Twitter. And I'm going to start by saying I felt a bit bad about it and I didn't share it myself because even when I despise somebody, I think they're entitled to privacy at their own wedding. So I felt like, imagine being that guest that shared that on WhatsApp or something and then is responsible. I thought that was, I don't know. Mm. I mean, listen, I've got nothing but bad things to say about the man's actions and all of that, but yeah, that was a bit off, wasn't it? Although, obviously, also funny, the dancing
yes.
was up there with Theresa May.
Yes.
I liked Theresa May, though. He had that big cream suit on. But anyway, despite that, he is now going off on his honeymoon. And I read to, wait for it, a Slovenian eco-resort. An eco-resort? Yes. That's from the guy who gave the go-ahead to countless new fossil fuel projects and slated onshore wind farms. Sue Perkins tweeted very aptly, Ofgem is no longer a regulator, it's an enabler.
It does feel like someone needs to explain to Ofgem, by the way, what a cap is. Like, I actually tweeted that myself and got a wonderful response from at Bank of Dad 61 saying, it's what you put on your head when you're cold.
Very true. But yeah, it's this sort of leaping around at a wedding and then deciding you're not going to do anything. So you're just sort of taking the coin. You got the title, but you're totally ineffectual. And it is the worst time ever, the worst leader at the worst time, because we've got the worst economic crisis in our lifetime. And he doesn't care. And he didn't care when he was warned about it back in October. You know, he said to Beth Rigby then that inflation fears were unfounded. Mike Galsworthy, he is always on it. And he wrote less than a year ago, Boris Johnson was asked about the widespread fears that inflation would surge. Here's how he responded.
Very rapidly.
Worried about inflation?
And I'm very encouraged.
Are you worried about inflation?
I'm very encouraged by the growth I'm seeing.
I understand you, but are you worried about inflation?
Well, people have been worrying about inflation for a very long time. I'm looking at robust economic growth. And by the way, those fears have been unfounded. I'm looking at robust economic growth. I think that the supply systems that we have, logistics, the supply chains we have are incredibly clever and robust, and supply will meet demand, and you're seeing that now in the petrol forecourts where supply is coming.
I feel Beth's pain there. She had to ask me three times, just got ignored. It reminds me, I'm like, my husband, can you empty the dishwasher?
Have you bought a new air freshener for the toilet? Have you bought a new air freshener, Marina? Have you bought it?
Where do you get industrial strength?
I don't know, but we could Google that later. I'm really feeling your pain. I might send it round like a present.
Please do.
Yeah.
But on that clip, so everyone heard him there saying that widespread fears were basically unfounded. He only went and just denied that again 3 months later. So Angela Rayner actually quizzed him about it in PMQs. And he said, of course, I said no such thing because inflation is something that we always have to be careful about. I mean, Sky News has got you on video saying it, you colossal cretinous bullshitter.
And then meanwhile, Partygate goes on. I mean, just put them in prison and be done with it. The right-wing media, though, and the Johnson cultists have been absolutely losing it over the weekend when they learnt who would be sitting on the parliamentary committee to investigate whether Johnson misled Parliament over Partygate, which, by the way, everybody, he did. I mean, I haven't even read any of the evidence. I've nothing to do with it, but I could just forget it. Just, yes, he did it. Send him to prison. Mm. Right, listeners, here's the thing. There are seven people on this committee, and four of them, i.e. a majority, even I can do those maths, are Tories. And yet the Johnson fanboys and girls are absolutely soiling themselves over it. I mean, Nadine Dorries has pretty much had a baby. Zach Goldsmith, also a billionaire Tory lord and environment minister, he is just absolutely doing one. So Dan Hodges in The Telegraph was where he put, Johnson's already paid the ultimate price. What, like 50 quid fine? That's literally the only thing he's had to sort out. Oh, yeah, and his job. But, I mean, I don't think he just lost his job over Partygate anyway.
That he's but he lost his job. I mean, it was eventually the Pincher thing. So it was actually nothing to do. He hasn't actually paid any price for the parties.
Well, he lost his job as well because of the culmination, things like Owen Paterson, all of it.
I know. But have you seen that Liz Truss is saying that she will cancel that parliamentary committee?
Yes.
You've seen that?
Of course she will.
Fuck, yeah. Anyway, going back to Zach Goldsmith. So he's one of the Tory MPs who's saying that it's a witch hunt. It's a witch hunt. Mm. Very Trumpian language actually coming out of them. But you need to know a bit more about Zach Goldsmith. So Zach Goldsmith, billionaire. He was a Tory MP. He lost his seat twice after being beaten by a Lib Dem in the constituency. So what did Johnson do? Well, first you need to know these two are close pals. In fact, Zach Goldsmith and his billionaire family paid for Johnson to stay at his 25k per week villa, complete with a helipad, as you do, as reported by The Mirror. I mean, personally, I need better friends.
I do too.
Why haven't my friends got villas with helipads?
I don't know.
Helipads, I don't want to use it.
I've got
to run around in circles. But anyway, so he's lost his seat twice and Johnson just goes, yeah. F democracy, I'll make my pal a lord and an environment minister to boot. So listeners, despite voters voting him out, this Zach Goldsmith, twice, Johnson gave him a peerage and a government role so he can still make and shape our laws. That is British democracy, folks.
It's just insane. So Lord, my Lord, Zach Goldsmith. Can you imagine going out with a
man
lord?
Of the
away,
people,
my Lord?
Billionaire, man of the people.
Yeah, my Lord, would you like a cup of tea? My Lord, give us the remote control, you big old Lord. The Partygate probe, this is him, the Lord, saying this. The Partygate probe is clearly rigged. It is a jury compromised of highly partisan, vengeful and vindictive MPs, nearly all of whom are already on the record viciously attacking the person they're judging. It is an absence, abuse of power. To which Mike Holden, 42, replied, obscene abuse of power? What, you mean like when someone loses their parliamentary seat in a general election, but their mate immediately gives them a seat in the House of Lords and a government post anyway, against the express will of voters? That kind of obscene abuse of power? Meanwhile, in Ibiza, I was sipping my pina colada and I saw that Britain was basically flooding. Unbelievable. And I looked into it a bit and I saw your tweet saying, I just heard on LBC, water firms are leaking 2.4 billion litres of water every day since privatisation. Mm. So basically since privatisation, rather than repair the pipes or build the reservoirs, they've given 72 billion to shareholders and poured raw sewage into our water. And yet they'll fine us up to £1,000 if we water our gardens. And I know you're always on the money, Marina. So I read that and just thought, wowzers, that is absolutely horrendous.
I had to double check that several times, actually, because I really wanted it not to be true. Mm. But it was, I heard it was George Monbiot, who is an environmentalist, who was speaking on LBC. And I went and checked the figures afterwards and it's bloody true.
Well,
like
the other thing,
2.4 billion every day.
I remember Daniel Hannan, there was a big old row on Twitter some years back, a while ago now, because basically there's a buildup of shit in our sewage plants. And this is another Brexit benefit. So the chemicals that are required to purify the water so that it can come out it back into the reservoirs is very, very volatile. So it relies on short-time supply chains. And then because of the barriers put up that we've inflicted upon ourselves with Brexit, by the time the chemicals get in now, they're redundant and useless. So the water companies haven't had anything to clean the shit with. So then our lovely government quickly went rushed in, because rather than say, oh, sorry, guys, we've really messed up on that front. And they went in and changed legislation so that water companies could release shit into our waterways, our rivers, our beautiful clean rivers that were really cleaned up ever since we joined the EU. So that's nice. Because our sewage pipes are so old as well that if they didn't do that, the other option is having shit in the streets. So I don't know. So now me not being able to post my prawns is looking a bit wet as a benefit, frankly, when you're versus having poo everywhere. It's disgusting. And upsetting.
And we're supposed to have a water regulator, by the way. Our regulators, Ofgem, Ofwat, they're not great. So Ofwat is the water regulator. Mm. They've actually been sued for inaction because they're just not dealing with all of this sewage being leaked into rivers and coastal waters. Mm. And like, so I know in the Netherlands, again, I've got this from LBC, source of knowledge, guy called from the Netherlands and he says, look, we have privatised water over here, but it does sort of work because it is heavily regulated by the government. Mm. We don't have that here. We have privatised and we have this Wild West rule-free money-making scam. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. Fergal Sharkey, the singer from the 80s, very good if you care about water, on Twitter. He's huge. He tweets about it all the time. Just a little tip there.
Seeing him. Right, changing gears slightly, but it's always nice to check in on what our RMT heroes, Mick Lynch and Eddie Dempsey, have been up to.
You're absolutely just... she's got her calendar open to August and it's just Eddie Dempsey with a big flag.
That's a suggestion.
Yeah.
Should we approach them and see if they'll do a calendar?
Absolutely.
We could do a calendar of our favourite sort of like lefty revolutionaries.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, this is an idea. Let's take this offline. Okay.
Okay.
But anyway, let's just check in with what Mick Lynch and Eddie Dempsey have been up to. So our listeners might think they're becoming regulars on the podcast, but I make no apology. Plus, by this point in the pod, I feel like with all the depressing shite we've had to take you through, literally in the case of the sewage, we need to give our listeners reasons not to emigrate. So here is our Mick. No, you can't. You have to stay here and endure it. So here is our Mick reminding us why we love him so.
Well, I think people have brought into my message because I look like Brad Pitt and sound like Boy George.
A bit giddy.
Do you know what? There's a man who I don't think he'd do a poo in your loo in the day. I just don't think he would. I think Mick's more refined than that.
Where would he go?
We've talked about poo a lot in this podcast. I'm really sorry, everybody.
Sorry.
It's pretty gross. cheap laughs. Right, do you know what? It's underrated tweet of the week time. It really is. I found this one. It made me giggle. So Sam White, who's a writer, he describes himself as writer and liability. He tweeted this wonderful picture of Rishi Sunak because he's been busy, not just with this Shredder video and with being horrible to poor people, but he is basically sat on a chair in the middle of a wheat field with his usual sort of, you know, shirt sleeves rolled up. And Sam White captioned it and put, I can't get past the utter pointlessness of someone driving that chair out to a field. And then Rufus Hound, who's brilliant, he then quote tweeted that and put, if someone doesn't Photoshop Theresa May running through the back of this shot, what is Twitter even for anymore? What is it with Tories and wheat fields? What is it?
Tell me, Gemma, that you saw that someone actually did Photoshop.
Oh, did they?
They did. They did it.
Oh, my God. Oh,
yes,
I need
it was
to
wonderful.
Go back.
I'll send it. I'll WhatsApp it to you.
Okay.
Anyway, look, I think we need to wrap up here. We've talked so much shit. but thank you so much to Rufus Hound.
Good effort for
and
our podcast,
Sam
Marina.
White.
Join us. We just talk shit.
Sewage, you know. But thank you for those underrated tweets of the week. They were brilliant. What a gem to wrap up this week's podcast with. And then to you, my lovely listeners. Ah, lovely listeners. Thank you so much for listening. And by the way, we love the feedback we're getting from you.
We do.
Loads of really kind words. Makes us feel all warm and fuzzy inside. So thank you. And if you think there's any of your pals that might enjoy the podcast, please do share it with them as well.
Yeah. And say sorry about all the poo talk in this one. Before we go, though, also, we always like to leave a little treat for you. This is fabulous. It's from @MattGreenComedy. Take it away, Matt.
Oh my God, did you hear about the witch hunt?
Witch hunt?
Yeah, apparently it could be the worst corruption of justice since Stalin's show trials.
Oh, do you mean the scandal of the postmasters who were convicted of fraud and sent to prison, despite it being caused by a glitch in the computer system that the company knew about?
No.
Or do you mean the young men convicted of murder through the joint enterprise law?
No.
Or are you talking about all those kids who've been strip searched by the police for no good reason?
What? No, of course not.
Well, what are you talking about then?
The Commons Privileges Committee investigation into Boris Johnson.
Right.
Such a witch hunt.
That's the investigation into whether he misled Parliament when he said there were no parties in Downing Street during lockdown.
Yes.
Can you really call it a witch hunt when the witch has admitted to being a witch and has in fact turned themselves into a frog in public several times?
But what's the point? He's already been removed as Prime Minister.
He's still in office.
But he's not doing anything.
Which I suppose is good in a way.
These people are just being vindictive. What does it matter now?
Deliberately lying to the House of Commons is a pretty big deal.
How do you know it was deliberate?
Well, that's why they're having an investigation.
Kangaroo court, more like. He deserves a jury of his peers.
More than half of the committee are Tory MPs.
No, peers he appointed, like Zach Goldsmith and Yevgeny Lebedev and Ian Botham.
That doesn't sound very balanced.
You just hate Boris Johnson.
And you just love him.
Well, you know what they say, love will conquer hate.
Then how did we end up with Brexit?
Fair point.
Another point?
Actually, I should probably get back to the office. I think I'm about to be put in charge of the Treasury for a bit.